Welcome to the Michigan Post-Primary Press Call. My name is Erin, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'll now turn the call over to Ayelle Algravan. Ma'am, your line is open.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ayelle Algravan. Thank you so much for joining this call. I am the communications manager with All Voting is Local, a campaign at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We are pleased to host this telephone press briefing to recap yesterday's primary election and look ahead to the November 3rd general election. Joining us today are Agogo Edebe, Michigan State Director at All Voting is Local, Gabriella Alcazar, Detroit voter, Claire Allison, Civic Engagement Director, Michigan League of Conservation Voters, Lucas Carroll, a new Buffalo voter, Sharon Delente, voting rights strategist, ACLU of Michigan, Brandon Snyder, Executive Director, Detroit Action, Nancy Wang, Executive Director, Voters Not Politicians. Speakers will be available to answer questions during our question and answer session. The operator will advise reporters on how to get into the queue at the appropriate time. First, we'll hear from Agogo Edebe, Michigan State Director at All Voting is Local.
Thank you. Just want to thank all the reporters are on this line and also my fellow panelists for joining this call today, because we have some important things to talk about in relation to the election that happened yesterday and the election that's coming forward in November. But just wanted to briefly talk about what All Voting Local is. All Voting is Local works to eliminate barriers to the ballot before they happen, and we are committed to making sure that every voter has access, equal access to the ballot this November. I think overall, in thinking about yesterday, I would say that I am relieved, but I'm profoundly concerned. Because while many aspects of this primary were first, from the widespread use of vote by mail to COVID-19 pandemic concerns, there is no excuse for ballots not to arrive on time, for polling locations to open late and not be adequately staffed, and not to inform voters of the changes to the election. And if we don't fix these things in November, we're going to have a very bad situation that could turn into a disaster. And I think that is what we all have to understand. In terms of the poll working situation, while it seemed that most polling locations were eventually able to open, there were barely enough poll workers to make it work. There were emergencies in Detroit and Flint. I know in talking to some people, election officials in the suburbs, some people just barely had enough people to make it work. If there had been more of a fall off, a lot more polling locations would have either closed or not functioned well yesterday. A lot of mail-in ballots were delayed in getting to people. A lot of folks requested ballots and they never got them. And we have to remember that in making in-person voting work, we have to take advantage of Prop 3 and really expand the use of satellite polling locations and make people aware of the ability to use them, because people are still so unaware of all the options that we have to make sure that voting works. Clerks have to do a lot more to make sure that people are aware of their options, and that has just not happened yet. And within this change, there are, I think, three things that we have to really focus on. Number one, more poll worker recruitment and education. we need more people to work on the election process. And because there are so many new people into the election process, we need to make sure that they're well trained. A lot of people are doing this for the first time, and clerks are used to folks who do this multiple times, multiple years. But due to the pandemic, we don't have that ability. So people need to be creative, and they also need to send up the red flag quicker. Some clerks, I think, thought that everything would come together just magically and only really sounded the alarm for an increased need for poll workers and election workers in just the last couple weeks. That needs to happen more quickly. We need to have more drop boxes in the state, and they need to be better publicized. There should be at least one drop box for every 20,000 voters. And we also have to make sure that we promptly get out the ballots. We had about 2 million people request ballots for this primary. It could be double. And September 24th is the statutory, the constitutional deadline for ballots to be made available to voters. And we're going to meet that. Clerks really need to make sure that they're well-staffed to meet that demand so that people are not waiting and concerned about how they get their ballots. And with that, I'm going to hand it off to Gabriela Alcazar.
Hi, good morning. My name is Gabriela Alcazar. I live and I vote in Detroit, Michigan. Because of the pandemic, my partner and I both made the easy decision to apply for our absentee ballot. We submitted our applications weeks ago. We live at the same address. He got his early last week, and I didn't get mine until the day before the election. Not voting was not an option, so I was terrified for a while that I would end up being forced to go vote in person on election day, something I really did not want to do, and potentially expose myself to COVID-19. While I don't believe that voting is the end-all be-all to civic engagement in a democratic society, as a socialist, I do believe it is the least we can do. So I've rarely missed an election, not even primaries, and I wouldn't miss this one. It was a very important one for my community. We needed to defend my congressperson, Rashida Tlaib, a passionate fighter for the poor and working class, and we had a very good chance at electing a radical prosecutor in Wayne County who was actually advocating to end mass incarceration for black and brown bodies. The barriers people faced in this election is unacceptable and needs to be fixed. In my neighborhood here in Detroit, polling locations were closed the morning of the election with no prior notice to voters. I had a friend show up early before he had to go open up his shop to find a sign on the door of his polling location. It had been moved. So then you had a bunch of us throughout the day trying to figure out how we can get him covered so we could go to his polling place to vote. We are the wealthiest country in the world, and we purport to be a democracy, but we can't figure out how everyone can easily participate in that democracy in one of the most basic ways, by voting. Detroit is a majority black city with skyrocketing poverty rates. Did folks in West Bloomfield experience the same barriers to voting? Folks need to be communicated in a timely fashion, any changes to their polling places. Ballots need to be mailed out to people as soon as possible. There also needs to be more public education and clarity about absentee voting so it is clear to everyone what the process is, what they can expect, where they need to go, and it needs to start now. We have an administration that is playing with fire when it comes to our democracy. They are straight up blowing down the functioning of the post office. We must do all that we can at the local level to protect our democracy. Access to voting should not be a privilege. It is a right that should be extended to all of us. Therefore, we need to make it as easy as possible for every citizen in Michigan to vote. This is one step towards building a more just, democratic society.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabriela. Next, we'll hear from Claire Allison, Civic Engagement Director, Michigan League of Conservation Voters.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. And as we just heard, my name is Claire Allison, and I yesterday stepped out of my role as the Civic Engagement Director for Michigan League of Conservation Voters to serve instead as a poll worker at my own precinct here in Detroit in the August 4th primary. I became a poll worker because we have an urgent need for people to work the polls, especially here in Detroit. COVID-19 has presented us with unprecedented challenges to our elections. And while many people chose to vote before Election Day by mail or at their clerk's office or satellite. In-person voting has proven to still be a critical way for many voters to cast their ballot in the manner that they choose or need to, as I saw yesterday at my precinct. In addition, mail has been slow, as we heard earlier, resulting in some voters, like our friend we just heard from right now, not having enough time to return their ballot by mail. I saw this myself, with over 10% of the voters coming in at my precinct yesterday needing to sign an affidavit and vote in person, even though they had preferred to vote by mail and simply were not given enough time. This means that preserving in-person voting is essential, both for those who don't have enough time to return their intended mail ballot, but also for those who either want to or need to vote in person. In order to make sure all Michiganders have full and equitable access to the ballot, we must double down on recruitment and education of poll workers. There is a quick and easy way to do so on the portal that the Secretary of State has set up. You can simply go to mi.gov/vote and click work at the polls and join me in this process. In addition, I would like to stress, as we've also heard, that we must do better, especially here in Detroit, but elsewhere, at communicating with our voters about changed voting locations. One of the locations that was changed was the precinct at which I worked. I typically vote at Western High School, and instead of Western High School being open due to their summer school program, we were housed at two different places, at Mayberry Elementary and Clipper Multicultural Academy. We needed to check our voters that came in to make sure that they had come to the right changed location. In some cases, they had not, which meant that they needed to walk a couple more blocks to go and vote at their new location. They had not been notified ahead of time in many cases and were very frustrated by this process. We want to ensure that in our next election in November, we have better communication ahead of time so that people can plan and vote in a timely fashion in the way that they choose. All Michiganders deserve to have an equitable opportunity to cast their vote. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claire. Next, we'll hear from Lucas Carroll, a new Buffalo voter.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm Lucas Carroll. I'm from New Buffalo, and I'm a college student. I requested my absentee ballot a couple months ago, and about a week ago or two, I started to really get nervous that I hadn't yet received it. So I called my clerk, which I'm also a little bit questionable about, just because I've never called them before, and I'm not sure how many other people will do the same thing. But I was nervous because I kind of resolved myself to go vote in person, which I hadn't wanted to do, but I wasn't really sure about the process or because I'd requested an absentee ballot if I could. I also, like I think a lot of Michiganders, live in a house with a lot of other people, in a kind of chaotic house, so I wasn't sure if it was my fault, if the ballot had been sent and somehow someone threw it away or what had happened, and so I wasn't really sure if I was even going to be able to vote. So so that's why I called my clerk, and that's what really worried me. And so my clerk told me that that they had actually sent the ballot a couple weeks ago, and I just hadn't received it. But she did tell me about the process that I could come in and sign an affidavit. So that's what I ended up doing. However, I do kind of worry that that other students, other first time voters, other people who have been kind of traditionally left out of the process will just err on the side of caution by deciding not to vote. The voting process for me was pretty easy, but I did notice that being in New Buffalo, a majority white, a more wealthy city, there were no roadblocks really. Once I got there, it was really simple. They gave me my own pen. Everybody was wearing masks, whereas my friends really just across the county in Benton Harbor were reaching out and saying how their voting location had been changed, how there weren't any signs on the door, how they hadn't really been informed. And so that worries me heading into November as well. And then finally, just as a college student, I also worry because I talked to my clerk, and when I called her, I wanted to ask her about where I should request my absentee ballot. And she told me, just request it wherever you're going to be living in the first week of October. My school is allegedly going back in the fall, but I'm not really convinced that we're going to be staying for too long. So I worry about if we do end up getting kicked off campus or if other schools end up closing, where that will be. I don't necessarily know where I'm going to be living during the first week of October. So, I mean, I can figure out how to have my family send me the absentee ballot or something, but it's a kind of difficult. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do. So it's a little bit concerning. And I think that's just kind of part of the education piece. I worry whether other people are going to take the time, or, you know, if it's going to be a lot of more kind of handed over to people like you guys, kind of to try to educate more people on the process and make sure that people don't err on the side of caution and decide not to vote, especially when we've seen so many times people get kind of messed up by and worried about kind of the criminalization of voting in some places. So I do worry about that. But yeah.
Thank you, Lucas. Next, we'll hear from Sharon Delante, voting rights strategist, ACLU of Michigan.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to take a moment to thank Gabriella and Lucas. I, as a voting rights advocate, learn the most when I hear from voters about the challenges that they're having, the questions they're having. That is how we will have the voting system that we need for November, by listening to voters, by listening to citizens who want to be voters and are not able to move through that process yet. So thank you so much for being on the call. So again, my name is Sharon Delente. I'm the voting rights strategist at the ACLU of Michigan, and I was one of the architects of Proposal 3 of 2018. As you'll remember, Proposal 3 was the most robust package of voting rights reforms ever adopted through a statewide ballot initiative. And while we all knew on this call, all my friends on this call knew we needed those rights, we certainly couldn't have understood how important and life-saving they would be in this time of a pandemic. So, you know, tremendously proud that we are not here in Michigan having a conversation about whether every voter should be able to vote by absentee ballot. Thank God and thank goodness we are past that point. So, of course, we saw a tremendous increase in the number of absentee ballots cast in yesterday's August primary. But I want to remind everybody on this call that Michigan has handled 1.3 million absentee ballots prior, not in an August primary, but in a general election. And the reason why I'm pointing that out is because we really have not reached anywhere near the top of the number of absentee ballots that we can and that we can process, that we can be prepared for, that we must be prepared for. You know, the last numbers that I saw yesterday were the number of absentee ballots coming back was about 1.6, 1.7 million. So I would humbly suggest that, you know, we've done this before. And as I think it was, you know, my friend Agogo saying earlier, now we need to prepare for potentially two times that much. So election officials have to plan now to significantly increase their capacity to handle twice as many ballots as they handled in this August primary, twice as many absentee ballots as they handled in this August primary. And that's not going to be easy. Election officials have to plan now because there's a challenge. And I think all of us would agree election officials need resources to do what needs to be done to process that level of absentee ballots. That includes money for temporary staff. If you have to process twice as many absentee ballots and mail out twice as many absentee ballots as you've ever done before, you are going to need more bodies and more resources to pay for those folks. So we also need to work together, you know, election officials, voting rights advocates, voters, to ensure that each and every voter can fully exercise that constitutional right to vote absentee. You heard folks on the call today say that they applied for a ballot, but they didn't get it, or they, you know, people were worried, of course, about whether or not their ballots were going to get back in time. And so voters have a constitutional right, there's no question about that, to vote by absentee ballot. And now we all need to get together, voters, voting rights advocates, election officials at the local, state, and national level, media, to ensure that folks have answers, have information, can call to get their, you know, questions or concerns addressed. So as some of my folks on the call have already mentioned, although more than 2 million people requested an absentee ballot yesterday, many voted in person. We can and should expect that more than a million voters are going to vote in person in November. voters have a constitutional right to vote in person starting 40 days before the election. And if there's one thing that I hope the media on this call will emphasize, it's that. Starting 40 days before, that is late September, voters can go in person to their city and township clerk's office and vote an absentee ballot in person. So we need clerks to be ready to serve those voters. If advocates like myself and those on this call and the media are telling voters that they can go in on that day and that they have a constitutional right to do it on that day, election officials must be prepared to serve their voters during that entire period. And unfortunately, some clerks' offices were not open on that 40th day before the primary election. And in one case, the ACLU of Michigan had to sue a clerk in order to get their office open. That's unacceptable. The Constitution is clear. We are not having a debate or discussion about that anymore. The voters have that constitutional right, and election officials must be prepared to honor it and to serve voters. And look, here's the reason why we all have an incentive to honor that constitutional right and robustly implement it. The more voters who vote in person over that 40-day period and not all on election day, the more we will spread out voters and reduce the amount of contact that folks are having. If we have 40 days for people to vote, let's spread that out and encourage voters and election officials to use all of that time. That's what they deserve, but it's also what will help the circumstances of our current pandemic. We also need to encourage, as I know everybody on this call has mentioned, you know, citizens, we have all been working really hard, I can tell you, since the passage of Proposal 3 to educate citizens about their new rights. But we all need to double down on that and do it nonstop between now and November. We need to encourage citizens to learn about their voting rights, to make a plan to vote early, and as a couple of my counterparts have already said, to serve as a poll worker this fall so that we can ensure in-person voting is available to all who want to use it. Voters and the media can visit the Voting Rights Digital Hub that we created this year, very early in the year, to educate people about their voting rights, michiganvoting.org. Folks on this call have been partners in developing that clear, direct information for voters. And also, I want to remind, especially based on what Gabriella and Lucas said, I want to remind folks that there is an 800 number that's available every day and will be every day all the way through Election Day and even after if need be, where voters can call and get expert advice and their questions answered. That number is 866-OUR-VOTE, O-U-R-VOTE. And it is on and will always be on that MichiganVoting.org website. Those hotlines are also available in language for individuals who need assistance in other languages. Finally, I'll just speak to one more issue, the elephant in the room. I want to remind folks that when you have millions of people voting by absentee ballot, it's going to take time to count the votes. It's just plain and simple. There's nothing odd. There's nothing unusual. It's completely logical that with more individuals voting by absentee, there will have to be time to count all those absentee ballots. And we want to encourage and ensure that our election officials are taking the time to count each and every ballot carefully. So prepare yourself, everybody, media, political politicians, activists, candidates. You are not going to have results by 8 p.m. on Election Day. You actually never had official results by 8 p.m. on Election Day, but it's going to take time. And that's the system that we need in order to ensure that we have a voting system that's working for everyone and that everyone's voice is heard. And that's it all. Thank you for having me on today. I look forward to answering any questions you have.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Next, we'll hear from Brandon Snyder, Executive Director, Detroit Action.
Hello, folks. My name is Brandon Snyder. As mentioned, I'm the Executive Director at Detroit Action. We are a community-based grassroots organization building political power for working-class Black and brown folks here in the metro region. Our constituency consists of people who are folks who are formerly incarcerated, people who are young adults, people who are homeless or transient, as well as everyday Detroiters who are interested in the civic process. And one of the things that we are most proud of is being able to participate in 2018 as a part of the coalition that won Prop 3 and the expanded voter bill of rights for Michiganders to be able to use in this election. However, as my colleagues mentioned, and as I want to mention and make clear that in order for this fall to be successful, in order for Michiganders across the board, wherever their background may be, to take advantage of these rights and to access the ballot, there has to be a lot more done at the county and the city level in order to ensure that ballots are counted, that people have access to the ballot, people are able to understand their rights, and that poll workers are able to support the influx of voters in this year. So I just want to start there. Yesterday, we experienced a number of problems as it relates to either A, making sure that our young adults, our high school students will be first-time voters, were able to vote same day using the same voter registration process. Many poll workers were unfamiliar with it. Poll workers were unfamiliar with the material that students needed or could use to register same day. There were others who were given the runaround and were told conflicting information at some of the satellite locations. In other places across the city of Detroit, we've already lifted up the point that Western and other polling locations on the southwest side were changed at the last minute. But for many folks, there was no translation, there was no information that was provided for people who were monolingual. This is the same case in polling locations that surround Hamtramck and as well as other parts of our city where we have multilingual communities. This is a challenge, and this disenfranchises many folks who aren't able to access the ballot, who aren't able to get good, clear information from their elected leaders, and who are unable to actually be able to go vote with the information that they need. One of the things that we saw yesterday when it comes to being able to access the ballot was that people who are transient, people who have who may have had issues with their identification, or people who may have been formerly incarcerated, were given conflicting information about their ability to vote on election day. And we know that this here in the state of Michigan, that we have policies and we have laws that allow everyone to be able to vote regardless of their background. So in order for everyone in the state of Michigan to vote in November, in order for our process to run smoothly, we have to make sure that poll workers are trained and are trained effectively. We have to make sure that people are getting the information of where their polling place is earlier. Myself, I received notification that my polling location had changed on Monday. I hadn't received an absentee ballot, though I had requested one in June. Now, as a person who works for a community organization and is essentially paid to be involved in this work, I can go with the flow. But for many folks, like our members, who are working odd jobs, who are trying to make sure they can go vote during this process, who are trying to navigate the trauma and the circumstances of the pandemic, being told where their polling place is or that their polling place has changed at the last minute, requesting an absentee ballot weeks ahead of the election and not receiving one, completely disenfranchises people and invalidates trust in the institutions that we have. And so in order for us to be able to make sure that we're building a robust civic engagement infrastructure, we have to be able to provide more resources and more support for folks. So a lot of this looks like being able to expand the number of drop boxes that we see in the city for people to drop off their absentee ballots so they don't have to wait in line at polling locations. A lot of it looks like making sure, again, that poll workers are aware of the changes that Prop 3 provided, and that they're able to work with folks who are transient, able to work with folks who are homeless, able to work with folks who are young adults who are voting for the first time. So that way they have an easy process to vote, and so that way they come back again on the next election. And so Detroit Action, we're committed to making sure that this process runs smoothly next in November. We're committed to making sure that from our membership and from the broader community that we're recruiting poll workers, and we're recruiting young people to be poll workers, so that when they're able to support seasoned poll workers through the use of technology and through the use of the new changes. And last, we're committed to making sure that we have one of the largest mobilizations in the state of Black and Brown working class voters, so that way they can access the ballot and so they can have their voices heard. And so, you know, I want to be able to echo what my colleague said about this process yesterday, but I also see glimmers of hope. I see glimmers of hope with the use of Prop 3 and that its purpose is there. But in order for us to fully actualize its purpose, we have to tighten up. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Finally, we'll hear from Nancy Wang, Executive Director of Voters Not Politicians.
Thank you so much. This is Nancy Wang, Executive Director of Voters Not Politicians. We are a group of thousands of volunteers throughout the state from across the political spectrum who united to help end gerrymandering through Prop 2 in 2018. And we are dedicated at this point to further strengthening our democracy through similar grassroots citizen action. And what we saw from yesterday was record-breaking absentee ballot returns that show that voters do trust voting by absentee ballot, and they want to exercise our right, our constitutional right, thanks to Prop 3, to vote absentee, especially during the COVID pandemic. And we also saw that the state does have the tools now to enable every voter to vote safely at home. We saw a lot of efforts to commend. We saw clerks in some cities and townships across the state who expanded nights and weekends hours, who provided lock boxes for people to return their absentee ballots, who opened satellite locations, and provided safe in-person voting options. We had our Secretary of State and clerks who automatically mailed absentee ballot applications to every eligible voter. And we saw groups like those on this call, for example, who dedicated themselves to robust voter education and outreach. But like what we heard today, you know, certainly these efforts were not uniform and they were not statewide. And so it became an issue of, you know, whether or not you're disenfranchised based on where you live a lot of times. And that's completely unacceptable and something that I think we could all agree, you know, needs to be rectified for November. We need all of these things that, you know, the clerks and cities and townships really modeled for us about how vote by mail can be successful in some places in the state, but we need all of these everywhere in November. We need expanded access in every city and township. We need robust voter education and outreach. And then another huge piece that was missing that I wanted to highlight here was we need this legislature, we need our state legislature to do its job to support everyone else in the state who's working as hard as they can to make sure voters can exercise their vote, their right to vote during the pandemic. The legislature has, you know, before it, bills that would allow pre-processing of ballots. And that's just simply taking the absentee ballot that's completed and returned by a voter out of its secrecy sleeve and laying it flat so it's ready to be counted on election day. Not counting it, just ready to be counted. Again, that bill has been introduced, it's languished, and the legislature just needs to pass it. It's common sense, it's nonpartisan, it's not controversial. We need automatic mailing, again, of absentee ballot applications like we had for the primary, but again, for November. And we need that to be announced by the state sooner rather than later so that voters know what to expect. And we also need legislation that says that every ballot is counted as long as it's mailed by the voter, not necessarily received by the clerk, but mailed by the voter by election day. We saw, again, recounted here on the call, and I think documented, you know, widespread examples of delays in the mail. And so we need to account for that. The legislature can and has the power. There's nothing stopping it to pass legislation that simply says as long as an absentee ballot is postmarked by election day, it's to be counted. Again, you know, what we saw yesterday is the state has the tools. Some municipalities have shown how it can be done. The voters want vote at home, and we need the legislative will to help voters exercise their constitutional right to vote at home, and also to support the clerks who are trying to do everything they can to make sure no voter is disenfranchised. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. We are now ready to take questions from reporters. For reporters, please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker. Speakers, when answering questions, please remember to state your name and organization. Operator, can you please provide instructions for asking questions?
If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There will be a delay before the first question is announced, and if you're using a phone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, that is star then one on your touch-tone phone. I'm standing by for questions. And again, that is stars and one. And it looks like there are no questions at this time.
Okay. Let's give it another couple of seconds. All right. If there are no questions, this concludes today's call. Thank you all so much for joining us. We'll be sharing the audio of this call later today. If you have any additional questions or need to reach any of the speakers, please contact us at press@allvotingislocal.org. That, again, is press@allvotingislocal.org. Thanks and have a great day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.